Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of South Tower Park, Southern Sanitarian Foundation, North down to South Tower in Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 12th, 2025. It is the 21st day of Lunar, 2029. Okay, we're on the cruise of the anointed one, fix the prayer, willing to be made willing to them. Our Chris Art by Ellen G. White, take him from the Mount of Blessing. It says, for the victory is not won without much earnest prayer, without the arming of self at every step. Our will is not to be forced into cooperation with the divine agency, but it must be voluntarily submitted. Were it possible that the force upon you was a hundredfold greater intensity, the influence of the Spirit of the Yahweh, it would not make you a Christian, a fit subject for heaven. The will must be placed on the side of the Yahweh's will. You are not able of yourself to bring your purposes and desires and inclinations into submission to the will of the Yahweh. But if you are willing to be made willing, Yahweh will accomplish the work for you. But many are attracted by the beauty of the Yahshua and the glory of the heaven, who yet shrink from their condition by which alone these can become their own. To recompense their own will, the chosen objects of the affection or pursuit requires a sacrifice at which they hesitate and falter and turn back. Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What are we afraid for this evening? Let us remember that self is the only barrier between us and Yahweh, and that Yahweh will never force us to come to Him. Let us ask Him for power to use the grace He so freely provides. He would not have made us free more agents if He did not expect us to use our will. We should ask Him to help us to be willing to be made willing, and then join our wills to His, and so work out our own salvation. We need the strength of the Yahweh to resist all evil, to overcome the world as the Yahshua overcame. And the prayer thought. Our sermon title is The Curse of the Anointed One, Text of the Address that it is the Heart of Sabbath, May the 17th, 1947. The study is from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse. For the Spirit of the Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, and the day of the vengeance of our Yahweh, the Father, to comfort all that mourn. These are the two verses which the Yahshua read as he stood in the synagogue of the city of Nazareth, the place where he was brought up. He read these verses and then sat down without making any comments. As his listeners were still in a stupor as to why he had read and then had sat down without adding a word, Yahshua rose again and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." For the reason given for the Spirit's power upon him is that the Yahweh the Father has anointed him for the preaching of the good tidings unto the meek, implying that if the Yahweh had not anointed him to preach, the Spirit of Yahweh would not have been on him. Moreover, he was anointed to preach unto the meek, unto those who are not not high-minded, but humble and teachable, as the only class could not be taught, for he was to comfort all that mourn, for the binding up of the brokenhearted, for the proclaiming of the liberty, for the unto the captives, not to free them immediately, for the acceptable year of the Yahshua is of the time in which the scripture is fulfilled. The time it is unsealed and proclaimed. Those who give no heed unto it are to be swept away in the day of his vengeance. For these were the good tidings for which Yahshua was anointed, unbelief and indifference, and the revealed truth is an insult unto the Yahweh and a sin against the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. Simply because the Savior preached these two verses, however, we must not conclude that the whole chapter was then fulfilled, or that the fulfillment of these two verses could not again be fulfilled in the time that the rest of the chapter is fulfilled. As the same Spirit was also upon the apostles, upon those who furthered the Yahshua's message in that day, so also it must be in this day, and the day that the whole chapter is fulfilled. For the duty of those who proclaim this chapter's message is Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. That's in the present day kingdom church of the house of David, and the 12th parabolic hour. This is what this is talking about at the time. To give unto them beauty for the ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of the praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of the righteousness, the planting of the Yahweh, that he might be glorified. For the burden of the Spirit is for the improvement of the spiritual conditions of those who mourn in the Zion, the church, to give them beauty for ashes, for repentance and humbleness, all of joy for mourning, present truth that hopefully lightens the rest of their way, and garments, character, of prayer so that they be as living ornaments of righteousness, a new creation, as a Yahweh, that He be glorified. Here it is seen that the original creation of the Yahweh, which has been lost through sin, is to be restored. Now is the acceptable day for the opening of your heart, for the taking in the present truth, to recreate and restore that which was lost through sin. Isaiah 61:4, and they shall build their old ways, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste city, the desolations of many generations. Those who are made glad and beautiful, who are clothed with the praise, and who become trees of the righteousness, the planting of the Yahweh, His triumphant servants, the godless Ezra and Nehemiah of the day, are to restore all things. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. For the strangers and aliens here mentioned are not strangers and aliens unto the kingdom of the Yahweh, but unto the nation not a blood relation to Judah and Israel, not of the stock of Jacob, not of the 144,000 who first stand on the Mount Zion, but with them, Isaiah 61:6, that ye shall be named the priest of the Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Yahweh. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. And the forthcoming and biblical kingdom of the Judah, therefore, there shall be two groups of the people, ministers and laity. From these scriptures we see that the kingdom of the Yahweh, the church purified, free from the terrors, is a real thing. It is not something imaginary, not something foaming, floating, and lost in space, but right here on earth. For your shame you shall have doubled. Unconfusion they shall rejoice in their abortion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For these ministers of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, are to have double because of the shame which they have endured. All such rejoice in their portion. Are you disposed to suffer for the Yahshua's sake? They say, are you like or unlike those who seek joy and friendship from the world, and who sooner or later are to find themselves in a great disappointment? Believe that is all. Isaiah 61:8. For I, the Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbers for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in the truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Judgment and justice is the Yahweh's motto for all His creatures. For the statement, I hate robbers for burnt offering, implies that such unbecoming things are now practiced among His people. In this connection, some years ago, I heard a certain member of the church say that in some kind of gambling he had won a little money, and as his conscience hurt him to keep it, he gave it as an offering to his church. Also, I have heard several say that they work on the Sabbath, but that they turn the Sabbath earnings over to the church. These incidents may serve as samples of how foolish, uneducated, and the things of Yahweh are the people of the Yahweh. By bringing such offerings to him, they are making Yahweh a gambler and a Sabbath breaker, and at the same time they imagine that they are doing him a great favor. For the Yahweh's promise unto his people is, I will direct their work in the truth. Are we then to question his ability to perform and at the same time expect him to give us a home in his kingdom? Isaiah 61:9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which Yahweh hath blessed. What a blessed hope! What a power to save both the young and the old, and to make their names known worldwide. For such a fame as this, people would go through almost any torture known unto mankind. For the Yahweh, though, is only asking you to believe and to comply with his word. Yes, that is all. Christianity is to become a real thing, so real that the Gentiles will acknowledge that such a Christian can only be the planting of the Yahweh, and that only the power of the Yahweh can bring such a change in the human heart and cause his saints to say, Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Yahweh, for my soul shall be joyful in my Yahweh, or Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Let's read that again. For I will greatly rejoice in the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for my soul shall be joyful in my Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. How is that? By washing my sins away in his blood. And that would be Revelation 1:5. He has covered me with the robe of the righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with the army, and as a bride adorneth herself with the jewels. For this chapter of the Isaiah, the prophet is indeed for the bringing of the revival and reformation. Such as has never taken place since the beginning of sin. For the Yahweh forbid that any one of us should miss the extent and the blessings that come through this revival and reformation. For as the earth bringeth forth her buds, and as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Yahweh Almighty will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Through the seed of the truth in the heart, this experience will come unto the Yahweh's people as naturally as does the earth cause the seed sown in it to bud and bring forth fruit. This is indeed the righteousness of the Yahshua, not the might of men. Summing up this study, we learn that the fruits of the Anointed One are these. That Yahshua was anointed for the preaching of the good news, that he was to open the prison, the door of sin, to bring up the wounds of the Yahshua's people, to bind up their wounds. Let's read that again. That Yahshua was anointed for the preaching of the good news, that he was to open the prison door of sin for the binding up of the wounds of the Yahweh's people, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, to comfort those who mourn, and to give all an opportunity for the escaping of the day of vengeance, that because he was thus anointed, he was fitted to comfort them that mourn in Zion, to bring beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the gift of the praise in the place of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, and that the Yahweh might thereby be glorified, that through the gift of the Spirit his people shall be enabled to build up the desolated places of the many generations, and those who are called now are to be the ministers of the Yahweh, or the ministers of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and they shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and glory in them, and strangers and aliens shall be their shepherds and vine dressers, that then their shame and confusion will be changed into the everlasting joy, that as Yahweh hates robbery, he will direct the work in the truth. He will direct their work in the truth and make an everlasting covenant with them that know him, that then their seed shall be known unto the Gentiles and among the people, and they will acknowledge that the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, has blessed his people. And that because the Anointed One clothed his people with the garments of the salvation and the robe of the righteousness, for the testimony of his children will be, I will greatly rejoice in the Yahweh, and as a bride adorns herself with the jewel, so the spiritual adornments are given through these gifts will bring on the revival and reformation, and that as nature brings to fruition the seed sown in the ground, so the Anointed One will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Ample provisions have been made for all who sincerely, earnestly, and thoughtfully sit about the work of the perfecting holiness and the fear of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Strength, grace, and glory have been provided through the Yahshua to be brought by the ministering angels to the heirs of salvation. None are so low, so corrupt and vile that they cannot find in the Yahshua who died for them strength, purity, and righteousness if they will put away their sins, cease their course of iniquity, and turn with the full purpose of their heart to the living Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for He is waiting to strip them of their garments stained and polluted by sin, and to put upon them the white bright robes of the righteousness, and He bids them, live and not die. In Him they may flourish. Their branches will not wither, nor be fruitless, if they abide in Him. For they can draw sap and nourishment from Him, be imbued with His Spirit, walk even as He walked, overcome as He overcame, and be exalted unto His right hand. Testimony, Volume 2, page 453, Ellen G. White. Okay, this is the end of our study of Time of Reading, Volume 1, number 41. They close this sermon with the song, There's a Wideness in Yah's Mercy. There's a wideness in Yah's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in His justice, which is more than liberty. There's welcome for the sinner, and more grace for the good. There is mercy with the Savior, there is healing in His blood. For the love of Yah is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind. If my lover but more simple, we should take Him at His word, and our lives should be all sunshine and the sweetness of our Yahshua. Frederick W. Farber, end of verse 7. Okay, we got Town of Green, Volume 1, number 42 now. The second half of our sermon for this, bringing on this Sabbath day, coming on this Sabbath day. The prayer thought for this one here is our only hope of overcoming. And that's not a blessing, L.G. White 205. And the name of the sermon is Zion's Reward and Yahweh's Mighty Effort. That was Sabbath, May the 24th, 1947, Beachy Hollow. And this is the second half of our sermon for this time. We'll go now with the prayer talk. It says, well, the only hope for us, if we would overcome, is to unite our will to the Yahweh's will, and work in the cooperation with Him hour by hour and day by day. We cannot retain self and yet enter into the kingdom of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh. If we ever attain unto holiness, it will be to the liberation of the self and the reception of the mind of the Yeshua, Son of David, pride and, let's read that again. If we ever attain unto holiness, it will be through the reunification of the self and the reception of the mind of the Yahweh, the Father, pride and self-sufficiency must be crucified. Are we willing to pay the price required of us? Are we willing to have our will brought unto the perfect conformity unto the will of the Father Yahweh, until we are willing? The transforming grace of the Yahweh cannot be manifest upon us. We shall now pray for the understanding that our hope of having a home in the Yahweh's kingdom, the Son of Yahweh, depends upon uniting our will with His will and upon the laboring in the cooperation with Him, that holiness depends upon renouncing self and accepting of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that pride has no place in the Christian's heart, that the transformation of the grace of the Yahshua is attained by our conforming unto His Word. In the prayer. Let's go into our sermon now. Zion's reward and Yahweh's mighty effort. Let's do it again. It should read the title. For the Zion's reward and the Yahshua's mighty effort. The Son of Yahweh. Let's read that again. For the title for our second sermon is entitled Zion's Reward and the Yahshua's Mighty Effort. May the 24th, 1947, be the harvest. This afternoon we shall study the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. The very first thing we need to know about this chapter is whether it was written especially for the people of today, or especially for the people of yesterday, and whether this message is to be given to the church or to the world. To find out, we shall read the 11th verse. Behold, the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say you unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, says the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, I have proclaimed unto the end of the world, not unto some other time. For this divine proclamation, therefore, is for those who are living in the time of the end. Unto them the chapter is now unsealed, and their commission is to take it to the daughter of Zion, to the church. You cannot therefore afford to excuse yourself from this call for the service. Isaiah 62:1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as a brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Here we are told that the Yahweh will continue thus to speak, not for the sake of the world, but for the sake of the church, so that she may eventually stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, that he will thus continue until the righteousness thereof goes forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof is a lamp that burneth. Now this implies that the righteousness of his people at the proclamation of this chapter is but dimly, if at all, going forth, and that the salvation thereof is not now as a lamp that burneth, but as a lamp the light of which is gone out. For his mighty effort is nevertheless to bring forth a great change. For the righteousness of the Yahshua is to shine forth as bright as the sun. For the conclusion then is that without this additional message, the church will never reach her goal, and anyone's unconcerned attitude in this urgent call for the service is sure to bring his doom. For the Yahshua's, for Yahweh's true people are nevertheless to awaken and embrace the call in, to them, as the church says the Yahweh, Isaiah 62:2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Yahweh shall name. For the righteousness of the Zion shall be so pronounced that the Gentiles shall be attracted by it, and all their kings by their glory. It is for this very reason that the present church name will not then be befitting her. As you know, there are now hundreds of church names in the world, as many names as there are ism, all of which are named by the mouth of men, although Yahweh recognizes only one church. Many of the names even suggest the divine competition. For instance, do not the names Church of the Yahshua, and which is the Church of Christ, and Church of the Yahweh, or the Church of God, make Yahshua and Yahweh competitors, the Father and the Son? Whatever the new name be, it will entirely benefit the church and her righteousness as they're projected. Let's continue. We are now living in a confused world. Some are of Paul and some of Apollos, and Cephas, Peter, John, and James. Some of the Yahshua, or some of the Father Yahweh, and some of the Son Yahshua. Christians are thus bickering and quarreling among themselves, one speaking against the faith of another, and at the same time all are trying to convert to the Yahshua, the non-Christian, another, the non-Christian world. What darkness for the church, which the Yahshua is now creating, he says, Isaiah 62:3, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Father Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of his Son Yahshua. For the church, here projected to be, is to be made up only of a righteous spirit, led people. her new name is doubtless to express this fact. Wonderful indeed to be the Yeshua's crown, or Yahweh's crown of glory, and his royal diadem. You certainly cannot afford to let this glory get away from you. Act today, Isaiah 62:4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. He says that, Isaiah 62:4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Yeshua delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married, because the Yeshua is the delight in her, and also because her land is to be married unto her, she is also to be called Hephzibah, and her land Beulah. For the church in the times past has been forsaken a number of times. Once in Egypt, then in Babylon, in Rome, and so on. But she is never again to be forsaken, and her land is never again to be left desolate. Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy Yahweh rejoice over thee. Or that Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, rejoice over thee. For marriage signifies an everlasting union. And thus the church has the promise that her homeland shall now forever be hers. And her sons, converts, shall never part from her. Isaiah 62:6-7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Yeshua, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, until he forsake make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Not that he will sit, but that he has already set watchmen that shall never neglect their duty night or day. And so you that now make mention of the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, ought not to keep silent, but praise him and speak of his wonderful love and truth. Now is your opportunity for the promoting of his cause, for the making it your chief business, your chief interest, your highest joy. Now is the time to say, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave unto the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, Psalms 137:5-6, unto this end pray and work. Give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Let this be your delight, as you are his delight. Isaiah 62:8-9. For the Yeshua has sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat put thine enemies and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Yahweh, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the course of my holiness. For the Yahweh's people have been robbed time and again, and the most outrageous and unreasonable robbery that they have suffered has been and still is being done by their own brethren in the faith. How? At every upward step in the truth, throughout the church history and down unto this day. Those who have ever embraced the new unpopular truth have in every instance been thrown out of the church which they helped build. This has been done only because on the one hand the majority have ever ruled, and on the other hand only the minority have ever been susceptible to the present truth, to the meat in due season. For the time is here, though, in which all manner of robberies shall cease unto those who are being cast out. This encouraging counsel and promise is given. Hear the word of the Yeshua, ye that tremble at his word. For your watchmen that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yeshua be glorified, for he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Isaiah 66:10. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Okay, say, for the Yeshua now repeatedly asks everyone within the hearing of his voice to fearlessly go through the Zion's gates and say unto her, behold, thy salvation cometh in the form of the Son Yeshua the Messiah with, by his blood. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. We therefore cannot do otherwise but go through, for it is our Yahweh-given duty to prepare the way for the people. We must build a highway, a way for them to come over to the light of the Yahweh and thus unto his kingdom. We must gather out every obstacle that stands in the way and must lift up a standard for the people, a standard which they can see and follow as it leads ahead. What could the standard be? The very standard which the people are to see and to follow is the Yeshua in his truth. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Yeshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. For this verse, as we learn at the beginning of our study, clears two things. First, that this chapter definitely contains a message to the church at the end of the world. The second, that since it proves that this chapter is now for the first time being unsealed and brought unto our attention, we are sent with a message unto the church, and definitely shows that we have come to the time of the end, unto the time in which the man-made institutions are forever to pass away. For the word behold suggests that we should now take notice and be able to see that our salvation cometh, and that while his reward is with him, his work is still before him. What is his reward? What else could it be but life ever forevermore? So it shall be that the first fruits, 144,000, the service of the Yahweh, or the service of Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, who are soon to stand with the Lamb on the Mount of Zion, Revelation 14, verse 1, with the Lamb shall be the first to be rewarded. As the servants of the Yahshua, they shall carry on the work that is before him, the work of the gathering of the second fruits, the Gentiles, Revelation 7, 9, and sent forth by the Isaiah, the prophet. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape from the slain of the Yahshua, verse 16, of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, unto Tubal and Avan, unto the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh, Yahshua, out of all the nations, upon the horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon the swift beast, to my holy mountain. Jerusalem, saith to Yahshua, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel unto the house of the Yahshua, Isaiah 6:19-20. For this choice is now yours, either to line up with the Yahshua's truth for this time, to accept his salvation, and to prepare for the work that is before him, for the gathering of his saints, or to remain aloof and to be to be spewed out. Let us make the better choice now, lest we soon find ourselves in the outer darkness. There is to weep and the gnash our teeth. Isaiah 62:12. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, and thou shalt be called sought out a city not forsaken. If you do all that the Spirit of the Yahshua bids you to do, you shall be of the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua. That's in Revelation 5:9, sought out, not forsaken. And now, to summarize the study, opens with the words, behold, the Yahshua hath proclaim unto the end of the world, unto the church of today. She is to be the Yahshua's crown of glory and his royal diadem. No longer will she be called forsaken, nor will her land be called desolate. That these titles are to be changed respectively to the Hezbollah, to the Hephzibah, let's read that again, that these titles are to be changed especially to the Hephzibah and Beulah, meaning for the Yahshua will delight in his people and their land, that the Yahshua is to rejoice over the church as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, that he has now set watchmen upon the walls of the Yerusalem, who shall never neglect their duty, that they shall not keep silent, and they shall pray to Yahshua and be zealous to do whatever they can in the furtherance of his kingdom here on earth in this 12th hour, the last parabolic time hour for the probation for this world, this earth, that he has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength that he will no longer give his children meat to the enemy, that strangers will no more rob them of that which they work for, that what they produce will indeed be their own, that his people have again and again been robbed of their spiritual right, that when the light of the Yeshua came unto them, the enemies barred the light away from them, at least for a time, that we are now admonished to hear the word of the Yeshua, for which cause the heathen fellow church members hate us, so that they cast us out from among them. This they do in the name of the Yeshua, the Son. But that they cast us out from among them, this they do in the name of Yeshua, but they shall be ashamed when he appears unto our joy and unto their shame, that we are commanded to go through the gates of the Laodicea, the Adventist church, and to prepare the way for the people, to cast up the highway, to remove the barriers, to raise up a standard for the people, to show to them that the Yeshua, Son of Yahweh, has proclaimed unto the end of the world, to tell the daughter of the Mount Zion at the 12th hour that her salvation is come, that his reward is with him, and his work before him, that those who escape the slain of the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, will be sent unto all the nations and unto the isles of the sea, and to the people who have not heard of the Yeshua, the Savior, that they shall bring all their brethren to the house of the Yeshua. You certainly now see that Zion's reward and Yahweh's mighty effort to inform you of this truth. You surely will do all you can to escape for the Yahshua's vengeance, and to, let's read that over again. You certainly now see Zion's reward and Yahweh's mighty effort for the informing you of this truth. For you surely will do all you can for the escaping of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh's vengeance, and for the joining of this layman's movement for the gathering of the people. This brings the end of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio or